Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
Well, thanks for joining me again for this study that we've entitled Angels, Agents of God, Agents of Good. Today we're going to look at that angels as being angelic escorts. They're there to escort us through life and beyond. And we're going to find out that this is all part of the loving relationship that God has established with us. In fact, I want to just start with this idea, and may it just sink deep into our souls. May it just wash over us with some refreshment and some nourishment for our spiritual selves. And simply this, and I say it because of God's Word declares it, you are greatly blessed. You are highly favored by God. And it's all because of His lavish love that He has showered upon us. One more time. You're greatly blessed, highly favored because of His lavish love. His lavish love. His lavish love. Because of His lavish love. Let that sink in for just a moment. And I want to take you to what might be an unusual place to see that love. But as you will see, if you've been part of the study to this point, you'll see how this kind of all flows together, okay? Going from our past of what God's done for us in the past into our glorious future of what He has for us out there in the beyond this life, we could say it that way. So I take you to an unusual place. It's found in Luke chapter 16, and we're going to begin in verse 19 in just a moment. And it comes directly from the lips of the Lord Jesus. It's a story He told. And as He tells this story, He informs us of what life is like beyond this life. You know, sometimes we get all excited when we hear someone tell a story of a near-death experience. And I find those interesting. I don't think I can put much stock in their total authority, because there's lots of things going on at that moment that may or may not be an accurate reflection of what is beyond. But rather than looking at near-death experiences, today we're going to look at a real death experience as Jesus describes it here in the text. And let me read these verses to you, or at least a portion of it, beginning in verse 19. And by the way, I should back up and just go to verse 14. Let me just read that quickly. It says, "Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard these things, and they loved money. They viewed the having of money and having of wealth was an indication of God's blessing." So I have a bunch of stuff. God must be blessing me. I'd have to be on my way to heaven. Otherwise, God would take all these things away from me, right? So you see how that happened. So now in verse 19, he tells the story. "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." So think about the contrast. Here's this man, plenty to eat, dressed in the finest of clothes, has all the friends and all the family around him, everything. He is well stocked and well provided for in this life. And then the exact opposite, this man who has nothing. He's just begging, wanting some crumbs that falls from the table of this man. He has no support. He seems all alone, abandoned. But then we have the story of both of their deaths. Verse 22, "So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." Now we're going to pause the story right there, and we'll come back to read the rest of that passage. But did you notice in this verse that's kind of our key verse, it says in verse 22 that after this beggar died, he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Notice what it says about when the rich man died. It just says that the rich man also died and was buried. By the way, it seems like the beggar didn't even have the decency of a burial or a ceremony, that sort of thing. But he was died and was buried, but then it says, "And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes." Suddenly he's there. But you notice the subtle difference. And we could almost miss this. We could almost just zoom right past this. But Jesus makes the point to insert into his language and to just wedge into the story this little statement that it says of him when he died, was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. An interesting description of what we would call heaven, place of paradise. I don't want to get too deep into that because we've actually studied that at other times. But I want to just think about this. He has, when he dies, an angelic escort to take him from here into the presence of God. Here was this man who appeared to be all alone, but he had an angelic escort. So let's think about that and what that says what this says for us. First of all, we think about this, and we've already looked at, and this is going to overlap some of the things we've looked at earlier, but we have to do that. But I want to think about the stages of life, where we go from our past into our future, okay? And just think about the angelic involvement as much as we can see in the scriptures about angels involved in our life. And I want to take you to this reality about seeing this. We have an escort through our days of life, through just the normal days of life. Let me take you to a verse of scripture that we looked at earlier. It's found in Matthew 18, verse 10. And there Jesus speaking, he says this, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Their angels. That's where we get this concept of the guardian angels. If you want to, you can go back and find the message that is entitled Angel Guardians, where we talk about this at length. But it does us well to think about this, because escort through our days, as in our childhood, it would appear, in our childhood, we have these angelic guardians. Now, someone wrote me this week online. They'd seen the teaching on the angel guardians a few weeks ago. And I really appreciate the question. Someone I've not met in person, but they're one of our online viewers. And they said, "Will you tell me what are the duties of my guardian angel?" So I thought about that. And how do I describe this? And this is what I've come to believe as I seek to apply my knowledge of Scripture and study of the Scripture. It's simply this. Angels are there to protect us physically and spiritually so that we can accomplish God's will and mission for us. Doesn't mean we're spared from every physical malady or harm, or even every spiritual attack, but it keeps us safe so that we can stay on target with the task God has for us. And sometimes God uses those hard things in life. Remember, Paul prayed, "Lord, will you take this thorn in the flesh from me?" God just simply says, "My grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness." So sometimes it's not saved from all hardships, but from those hardships that would keep us from doing what God wants us to do. We talked about how a believer, a follower of Christ who's in the will of God, is invincible until God is through with them, and then he will take them home. So we have this reality that we have this reality. But let me add one thing to my answer to that lady that sent in that question. Angels guard us, protect us spiritually and physically so that we can fulfill his will, and then they will escort us into his presence. The final job of these guardian angels that God protects us, how they're arranged, when they're around, lots of mystery there, but I believe they're there, is they walk through us through life, guarding us physically and spiritually from anything that might harm us from doing God's will, not saving us from every hardship, but keeping us in a place of usefulness. And then when we step from this life, it says right here, it was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. I think it's something like this, and this is how I imagine it. We're walking through life, we are protected, but we don't really see that. We don't see into that spiritual realm. But someday when we step from this physical life, when this body can no longer support life, we suddenly see in the spiritual realm, and I think they're already there waiting, and they're going to take us into his presence. And I think they're already there. It's not like sometimes you think you're in a grocery store and you hear an announcement over the speaker, "Pick up on aisle 5. You know, we have some angels need to go down and grab somebody off of this continent, this country, this location, this address, because in 5 minutes they're coming home." No, they're already there, because they've been with us throughout life. There's a verse that's found in Philippians chapter 1, verse 16. Let me read that to you right now. It simply says there, "Being confident of this very thing," Philippians 1, 6, "being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Isn't that a great truth? What he started, he's going to complete. Now, the Spirit works within us. Christ has saved us. If you're one of his children, that God has his will. He arranges things. He can interact with us directly. But one of the tools that he uses, one of the means that he uses to fulfill his will, and he's not going to stop until he's done, is the angels that walk along with us unseen. And sometimes, and I've heard stories and you've heard stories, maybe you've had some of those encounters where something very unusual happened. Maybe you just get a hint, maybe you just get a sense that maybe that was God doing something really special. Maybe that encounter was an angel. You know, it talks in Hebrews that some have entertained angels unawares. They don't know that they were angels, but they were there. And they maybe just think they're men and think it's just a normal coincidence, but God has sent an angel to intervene. But they're there all the time, and then they take us to heaven. So that promise is in place. Let me take you one more verse that you're going to find helpful. And it's just back just a few verses here in Luke chapter 15. Because let's think about this now before we get there. Let's think about this. A child has angels guardians. He talks about children in that passage in Matthew that we looked at a moment ago, Matthew 18. They're angels speaking to the children. And then it talks about, we think of believers and God is protecting us. Now you might say, well, what happens during that period when we leave childhood and we become responsible for our own actions? If there's a gap between that and the time we trust Christ, well, it's a scary time. And maybe that's the time you're in. Maybe that's the time you're in and you need to come to the Savior. We'll circle back to that in just a moment. But when a believer comes to Christ, there's two things that indicate that something significant happens. Look here in chapter 15, first of all, in verse 7. Jesus saying, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So there he's talking about, hey, there's rejoicing in heaven when a person comes from their sin and embraces salvation through the Savior. Maybe there's a celebration waiting to take place for you to come to the Savior. Or if you're one of his children, rest assured, when you came to faith in Christ, the halls of heaven were filled with the shouts of glory and the rejoicing of those there because you had come to the Savior. Now, let's add the angels into the equation. Look down at verse 10. Likewise, Jesus speaking, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. See the life stage, how it works? As a child, we have this reality of angels around us. So back in our past, angels were there. There is maybe a gap time if we don't come to Christ as a child, but when we become a believer, there's rejoicing in heaven. In the verse we just looked about in Philippians, God's going to complete that good work through angels, part of it at least, through angels walking along beside of us. And then we come back around to verse 22 of Luke 16, where it simply says, where he says that the angels, that he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. So we have this escort all along the way, from the past all the way into the future until we meet in God's presence. And maybe at that point, we no longer need the escort because we're surrounded by a great innumerable company of angels who lift their voices all the time to God. The fact that God does that for us means this: you are greatly blessed. We are highly favored, and we have the lavish love of God showered upon us. We are lavishly loved. Now, a couple things. First of all, I said we'd circle back to this. We need to think about this. If you need the Savior, if you need to put your faith in Him, let it be today. Why would you want to put this off? Why would you want to let this not be settled, but put your faith in the Savior? You see, He is the one that saves us from all that inspires. And I would not be doing my duty if I didn't read the rest of the story. But it's a scary one because the rest of the story is all about the rich man. Remember back in the beginning of this story, in verse 14, it was spoken to Pharisees who trusted in their riches and were lovers of money. So he puts the emphasis on the rich man. Now, by the way, is this a parable or is this an account? The fact that he names the beggar by the name of Lazarus indicates to me and most Bible scholars that this is a real life case study. This is a real event. These were real people that Jesus knew about. It's not just a fanciful story. It's not, you know, symbolic. This is real. It says in verse 23, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. A depiction of hell and his experience there. And Abraham said, Son, remember when in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. It's exactly opposite of what the Pharisees would have expected. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed. And that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there to us. So there's no getting over that. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. So send this one back from the dead, Lazarus back from the dead. And it's interesting that he's viewing Lazarus as sort of just somebody to be used. He's not doing anything. Let him go do it. Kind of, he should serve me. Send someone to my father's house. Verse 28, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. You see, in this depiction of Jesus, there are no unbelievers in this place of torment. There's no one that would not redo it in hell if they had the chance to do it over again. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent." But he said to them, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead." And in fact, Jesus did rise from the dead, and many people, and maybe you, still do not believe. Yeah, heaven is real. Hell is real. It's not my intent to just put fear into you. But if the Word of God generates fear and concern, listen to the voice of the Spirit today. All you have to do is believe that Jesus is the Savior. Believe that He died on the cross to pay for your sins. Paul said it this way in Acts 16, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." You want to be saved? You put your faith in Him. If we could help you in that step of faith, help you understand and lead you to that point, we'd be glad to have that conversation. But wherever you are, whatever you need, do not put this off. You come to the Savior. For those of us who are children of God, we are greatly blessed, highly favored, because we've had the lavish love of God poured on us. What do we do? Well, I want you to get that into your mind today. Think about how lavishly loved. Now, we're even in better shape than the beggar was prior to his death. I just was thinking about this. Next time you're maybe in a restaurant and you look around at the floor, look under your table a little bit, or maybe in your own dining room when you're sweeping up some crumbs after the meal, think about this. This man, he didn't even have access to the crumbs on the floor. We're doing far better than that. Why? Because you're greatly blessed, highly favored, lavish love. But beyond that, we have to operate in faith, not feelings. Sometimes we feel so discouraged. We feel like we're not valued. We feel like we're not worth very much. We can't accomplish much. It's just little old me. What can I do? What do I matter? If I'm gone, would anyone miss me? Remember this. God sends His angels to guard us in childhood. They rejoice when we are saved. They walk through us through our journey of following Christ. And when we step from this life, they will carry us into the presence of God. Why does God do all that for us? Well, it brings glory to Him, obviously. But it shows us how deeply loved we are. This little phrase about being carried by the angels into God's presence is just there to ignite the love understanding that you and I need. So here's what I want you to do. That phrase, "You're greatly blessed, highly favored, because you're lavishly loved." I want you to maybe jot that down, or maybe you can get the notes that go along with this message that you can download them. But get that phrase, and I want you to read it. I want you to think about it. I want you to note it. So you read, note, and repeat, and then do it all over again. Let that phrase just latch onto you, grip you, the fact that you are lavishly loved. Especially when you feel like, "I'm not of any value. I can't do anything. I'm this, I'm that, I'm not this." And especially when we get into comparing ourselves with other people, that's living by sight, not faith. Living by our feelings. I feel this way. It's not about our feelings. It's about what God says about us. What's God say about you? He says, "I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm with you all along the way." Now, we also have an escort through our transitions. And I don't want to spend much time on this, but there's some scripture that I want you to take a look at. I want you to go over to Matthew 28 with me for just a moment. And in Matthew 28, we read there, speaking of Jesus' resurrection, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it." Isn't that a great account? I love it. He's just sitting there, done. Okay, stone's rolled away. By the way, remember this. The stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out. Jesus was already gone. The stone was rolled away to let men in to see that the tomb was empty. But in this time of transition, angels show up. Later, He gives a message. Other gospel writers say that there was two angels seen in this scene. So all of them just give bits and pieces of the whole story. But angels were there at this time of transition for Jesus. There's one more that's found in Acts. Let me turn there for you. Turn there with you. Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, we read these verses 10 and 11. "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up," this is what we call the ascension, by the way, "behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken from you into heaven, so will come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven." So think with me for a moment. Here are these men dressed in white apparel standing in the sky. Got to be angels, even though they're not designated that in Acts. But it's like as He ascends in the heaven bodily to be seated at the right hand of God, there's angels there informing men what's going on. And by the way, when He returns, it will be with His mighty angels. And we'll talk about that, Lord willing, in our next session as we get into angels in the end time. So you look forward to that. By the way, we're going to be in Revelation. More than 75, or at least 75 references to angels in the book of Revelation alone. By far the most frequently mentioned book that has the most frequently mentioned angels that you find anywhere in Scripture. So escort through these transitions, his transition into resurrection, transition into ascension. Why? Because Jesus was greatly blessed, highly favored, and God lavishly loved him. So all the transitions we face in life, even the transition out of this life, and we'll look at that in a little more depth here in just a moment, those transitions are seen in the light of having an angelic escort. We are never alone. He loves us. Lavish love. Here's a phrase one more time. Let's make sure we get it tucked away. You are greatly blessed, highly favored, because you are lavishly loved. Read it, note it, repeat it. But let's think about how loved we are. And if we know how loved we are, we return that love back to him. You know, it's not that God, that we love God, but God loved us first. We love him because he first loved us. He loved us when we were unlovable, undeserving. This is that agape love that the scriptures talk about. It's not based on performance. It's based on God's heart and God's character. And he loves you. He loves me. If we really just can sink down into the fact that, oh, I am loved. I am lavishly loved. And part of it is this angelic escort that we have as children throughout our Christian life and even into God's presence, that God's going to finish getting us there and the angel escorts are around us. With that in mind, how do you react to someone you love? Well, someone you love, you spend time with, you talk to, you do what pleases them. I think that little trio will fit with our relationship with God too, doesn't it? If we really love him, and let's just every opportunity we find, think of that's a gift of love. That meal you just enjoyed, that's a gift of love. That blessing, the house you have, the physical blessings, then the spiritual reality that God saved us, that God answers prayer, that God hears us, that God's promised us that heaven is real and we can escape the torment of hell through Christ. All those great things, indications of his love. You are lavishly loved. So what do we do when we just kind of have that washing over us? We want to spend time with the one we love daily, worship service like we have right now, with other believers in small groups, just as you walk and talk with him, include him in the conversation. Talk is the second one. Spend time with him and talk. Have this conversation. Prayer. We've talked in recent days about prayer and the mighty, powerful tool it is, even in the angelic realm. We talked about that as Daniel was praying in our last session, as he was praying, God was sending the angels to bring him the answer. So prayer is part of it. We have the privilege of talking to God. He hears us. We can access him. And then doing what pleases him. We would call that in spiritual terms, obedience. We just obey him. We do what we're told. And you know this, someone you love, you want to do what pleases them. They like a particular dessert, you fix it. You like a particular gift, you like a particular interest, you give them time for that. Why? Because it's what pleases them. Well, God has told us in the scriptures what pleases him, that we would live apart from sin and live a life of service. It's all through the pages of the scriptures. So let's obey. That's how we respond in love. But let's get back to our story here in Luke 16. Let's think about it for just a moment. And it says in verse 22, so it was when the beggar died, he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Now think about this. And maybe he felt this way. He looked all alone. He probably felt all alone. He probably assumed he was all alone. In fact, the fact that was that all he could do was beg, and he wasn't even doing well in that. No one would even shoo the dogs away that were around him in his dying moments. What a horrible thought. So with that in mind, he seems all alone. But the fact is that we see through eyes of faith, the angelic escorts were right there. And as soon as he could see him and appreciate him as he'd step from this life, they whisk him into the presence of God. God doesn't want us to have this transition alone, but we walk along with these angelic escorts in that final transition. So we have an escort into God's presence. Now, there's a couple of verses I want you to look at in the next to the last book of the Bible. It's over in the book of Jude. And I want you to just think about one key concept you see here in Jude. And it's found in Jude verses 24 and 25. Let's read this together. Verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. What glorious words to speak, right? But I want you to look at that little phrase we just read, to present you faultless before his presence. Now, I don't know if Jude had angels in mind in this process, but this presentation is going to be through the escort of angels. Maybe it's something like this. Those angels maybe speak in the presence of God. Dear glorious Heavenly Father, may we present to you this trophy of your completed redemption. And there's Lazarus. And someday there will be you and I. to present you. It seems like a formal affair. It seems like a joyous affair, a noted affair, to present you before his presence. Angels take you to into that presentation situation. And back to our story here in 22, verse 22 of Luke 16. It says there, he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. I have a dear friend of mine who his wife passed away last year in the middle of COVID. And because of the restrictions, she was in a medical facility. He was unable to be there when she passed in this life. They've been childhood sweethearts, and now both in their 80s, she stepped into glory. So he knew where she was. She knew when in heaven, but there was regrets because I'd love to have held her hand when she took her last breath so she would know that she was not alone. But he said, then I read this verse where it said Lazarus was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, into the presence of God. And he said, it gave me great comfort knowing, even though I was prevented from being there, even though I wanted to be there, that she was not alone. The angels were there to escort her into God's presence. What a touching thought. What a moving thought. And for you and for I and for our loved ones who know the Lord, they're not alone. And you are not alone. Why? Because you're greatly blessed. You are highly favored. God has lavished his love on you. You are lavishly loved. Think about that with me for a moment. A lot of times what we face in life is a sense of or a feeling of abandonment. We've been abandoned. You can be abandoned by parents, by brothers and sisters, boyfriends, girlfriends, fiancés, spouses, friends, coworkers, employers, you name it. And probably being abandoned is tough. And sometimes we just fear abandonment in the future. What happens if all my relatives die and I'm left alone? What do I do when it's just me? Here's what I want to tell you. Here's the good news. You ready? Take note. The good news is you're never alone. God is always with us. He says, I will never leave you, forsake you. You have angelic escorts around you to keep you from physical and spiritual harm so that you can do his will. And then when you step from this life, you're still not alone. Lazarus wasn't alone. You won't be alone. The angels will carry you into the presence of God. Why? Because you're greatly blessed. You're highly favored. And you are lavishly loved. Now, someone in your world needs to be reminded of that. You and I just sought to remind ourselves of that right now. And we need to do that in worship and thank him all the time for his love, his presence, for the angels, for all the blessings. Just let your life be an unending torrent of praise to God. And I want to move in that direction. I'm going to spend more time praising and less time talking about insignificant things. But rest assured, you will never, ever be abandoned. It looked like Lazarus was the poster child of abandonment. But Jesus makes sure he tells in the story. By the way, when he died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. We would say it this way in modern, in New Testament terminology, into the presence of God, into heaven's glory directly, accompanied by angels, never alone. You are never alone. You see, the God who loves us, the Savior to whom we pray, the Spirit who indwells us, and the angels who surround us are all part of God's program to get you home. Wherever you're living now is not home. Home is where Lazarus ended up. Home is where God will get you if you're one of his children. And home is where he wants you to be. If you're not one of his children, he wants you to come to Christ. One more time, let's just say it and let it just find root there. And may it change us to know love and then pass that love on. You see, we're highly favored, greatly blessed, and lavishly loved so that we can lavishly love someone else. There's someone that needs to be reminded of this, someone that needs to be loved. Maybe it's as simple as picking up that phone, praying for you. How's it going? What's going on in your life? Because you are greatly blessed, highly favored, and lavishly loved. You have angels around us as children. As a believer, they rejoice when we are saved. They walk through us in life to protect us physically and spiritually so we can accomplish his will. And someday, they will escort us all into the presence of God. What a great blessing. Let that just fill you with his love today.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may his blessing be yours.